Welcome to the 1 o'clock no sour haha funny hour. No sour, happy, fun time, haha, power hour. Welcome to the no sour, fun time, haha, power hour.
Ooh, she did it.
I got it.
I think she's got it. By George, she's got it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Well, it's not no sour.
We just lost you. (844) 967-2789 Kristen is going to have to be calling in. We are having some odd microphone issues today. We are going to be talking about sports, all kinds of different sports. We've got the Bucks. We've got Aaron Rodgers news. We have all kinds of things going on in the world of sports. J.R. Radcliffe is here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. JR, thank you so much for tuning in.
Yeah.
I'm sure you watched the whole painful, sad Bucks game last night.
I did. It was really quite astonishing day, and I don't know what to make of it. I'm still trying to, I guess, assemble my thoughts on how to describe it. I thought that the Bucks had kind of done the worst thing possible in game four when they gave up a 15-point lead and just couldn't put that game away. And then they go ahead and make something even, I guess, a little more spectacular in game five. You had the 16-point lead going into the fourth quarter, historic comeback for the Heat. That's never been done in a clinching NBA playoff game before. You had the missed shot, the shot that Jimmy Butler made at the end of regulation to force the extra session, and then you had the Bucks just unable to get a shot off with the 2-point deficit in the final seconds of the overtime. So pretty much everything went wrong that could have gone wrong. They held on to some timeouts that they shouldn't have held on to, and it was very, very bad. It was very bad. Don't know how to. It's the first time in history that a one seed, since this format was adopted in 03, that a one seed has lost to an 8 seed in just 5 games or less. So this is really astonishing.
I can't. It can't be muted. The host is.
JR, what do you think? What do you think is going to happen next with the Milwaukee Bucks? It was so painful last night, and where do they go from here? I mean, what's going to be next?
I mean, there are no easy answers to that. There's a few things that are kind of awaiting them here. One is the future of Brook Lopez. He's somebody who's a free agent, and he's been very important to what they're doing. He's also in his mid-30s at this point, so they have to decide what to do with him. They've got Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton has a player option, so he ultimately holds the cards on whether he comes back initially. Even if he declines that option, the Bucks would have to decide whether or not they are committed to him long-term. I mean, he had a really rough year with injuries and really struggled at points in this playoff series. So he's a guy that I'm not sure what the future holds for him. So those are two of the four main components to this Bucks team. And then there's Mike Budenholzer, a guy who's taken a lot of criticism for how this went down, both in the tournament or in the playoffs here and in past playoffs. There's a little bit of a track record now in his 5 seasons. People are really, really down on him. He's had some great regular season success and obviously won a championship, but also some foibles here, and this is the most glaring of them. This is the third time that the Bucks have been a one seed and have not even made the Eastern Conference Finals. They've lost in the first round, in the semifinal round, and in the Eastern Conference Championship round. So there's enough of a track record where I think people are getting a little antsy, and with new ownership involved, it's kind of hard to know what the plan is there, if they're going to in fact continue on with Mike Budenholzer as the guy, or if they explore alternatives.
I'm back.
You're back.
I'm back. This is, I told you it was no, there was lots of sour and no, it was not a no sour, haha, fun time power hour. But I guess the bud question, because that feels like the thing that I'm hearing the most on Twitter is bud. And more specifically, it's not just the track record, but like very specific to the last two games. Why does this man hate timeouts?
I don't know.
Right?
Well, what's really funny about that, what's deeply ironic about it is that, and I know Eric Name at The Athletic has written a lot about this. He is a huge fan of the use it or lose it timeout. There are certain timeouts that if you don't take by a certain time, they disappear. They're just meant to be used earlier on in the game, and they don't want teams just, you know, reservoiring their timeouts at the end of the game and using them all to the last 30 mm-hmm. seconds of an NBA game are painstakingly slow. He uses those timeouts religiously. It is almost impossible to find a game where he doesn't use that timeout, no matter the situation, whether they're up 30, down 30, or it's close. So it is incredible to come away from a game, you know, where one of the big criticisms is a guy not using his timeouts. The one that Mike Budenholzer acknowledged he should have used was at the end of regulation. Jimmy Butler falling down, hits a game-tying shot in an incredible inbound play where Jimmy Butler also pushed off pretty dramatically, but that's neither here nor there at this moment. And they had at least half a second left on the clock, probably a little more when they would have reviewed it. And that one he acknowledged he should have called timeout because they would have been able to advance it to midcourt. There's a very good chance they get at least a shot off at that point. He did not feel that it was appropriate to have used one of his two timeouts at the end of overtime. I personally really struggle with that. I mean, Giannis had fallen down with about 5 seconds left. If your MVP, two-time MVP, has fallen down, is out of the play, that feels like the right time to call a timeout and just, you know, circle the wagons and figure it out from there. You still have 5 seconds. That is an eternity in the half court. You can mm-hmm. easily get a good look off. And he just went with the action that they had. There wasn't a clear path to the basket. Grayson Allen ends up with the ball in his hands. Grayson Allen's taking some heat because he doesn't get a shot off. And I don't understand that part because, I mean, I'm sure he didn't expect to have the ball in his hands with the season on the line.
So I can understand
him not being clear what the first course of action was there, but kind of symptomatic of the way the offense was. It just was not moving crisply. They did not share the ball well like they did earlier in the playoff series. And They just didn't have anything for those final seconds. And yes, he should have called timeout. He should have called both of them if he could have. But he didn't. And now they have to face it. That's just one more thing to face here coming into the offseason.
And so I guess you wrote, did you write it today or yesterday, as far as the history of number eight seeds against number one seeds in the NBA? And so kind of like, because this is, especially losing in five, like this just, doesn't
mm-hmm.
happen often, right?
No, well, it's never happened that it's been five or four. And to be completely clear, there haven't always been seven games in the first round. The playoff, it used to be five games. So there were a couple upsets. In fact, one number eight seed in that era, the Knicks, in the 1999 playoffs, they actually made it to the NBA Finals. So that's not completely unprecedented. But you have this is only the fourth time since 2003 when the format went to seven games in the first round that a team has lost at all. A one seed has lost to an eight, and it's the first time it's happened in five or four games. The other three instances were all six games. One of them was in 2012. Derrick Rose tore his ACL. He was the reigning MVP at that point for the Bulls, and so they lose him, and suddenly, you know, they just didn't have what they had from the regular season, so they end up losing to the Sixers. Completely understandable in that case. There's a very famous example. I think it's 07 where the Mavericks the Mavericks get shocked by the Golden State Warriors. That was a 65-win Dallas team, which is sensational. And the Warriors just got on a tear. Their home crowd was incredible. In my mind's eye, I can picture like these all. Everybody was wearing white in the crowd, and everybody was just going crazy. So there are. Those examples exist, but this is a little unprecedented. It's been a long time since an eight seed has had an uprising like this. I mean, Miami barely made the playoffs through the play-in. Like, they had to win or go home game against the Bulls, and they were losing late. Like, they really had to rally late. They ended up winning a little bit convincingly, but it didn't look good for them to even get into the tournament. And they were not a good team in the regular season. They've got a lot of guys who are very good, and they were very good last year with much of the same crew. But this was not a good team over the course of the year, and they were just different. Yeah. Jimmy Butler was different in particular, but they were just different in this playoff series.
Jimmy Butler, I mean, hats off to him. Like, as much as you, Jimmy Buckets really, like, just refused to lose. And as much as you wish he would have lost, it's hard to not give him the credit that he deserves as far as having two, like, first, I mean, Tyler Hero being out from game one, then losing another one of their top players and just, like, taking the team and going to go. And it just, there was an intensity that's, like, hard to measure, I think, that he had that it just didn't seem like anyone on the Bucks had.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a reputation, playoff Jimmy. He has a reputation for stepping up in the postseason, and he was tremendous. I mean, 56 points in one game. He had 42 in the clincher. Absolutely, you have to give him credit. But like Tyler Hero going out, I mean, this is the Heat are a three-man show. It's Jimmy Butler, Tyler Hero, and Bam Adebayo. Tyler Hero going out in game one, midway through game one, absolutely should have crippled the Miami Heat. And Bam Adebayo was not like a difference maker. He was good at points in the series, but he was not a difference maker. They had guys stepping up around the fringes who had not done what they did in the regular season. This was this was them coming out of their shell a little bit. And, you know, even if Jimmy Butler could score 50 points a game and the Bucks should still win the series, like they still, there was still a pathway that they win both game four and game five. And it's still really, really stunning that they didn't. So as good as Jimmy Butler was, he's a difference maker unquestionably. They don't win without him, of course, but the Bucks should have still won those games, even with Jimmy doing what he was doing.
So you in your professional experience, like the Heat didn't win, we lost.
Yes, absolutely. Like the Heat had to do everything that they did, but I wouldn't even say the Heat played a perfect series or anything. Like even into the fourth quarter of the clincher in game five, the Heat were ice cold coming out of the fourth quarter. They were two of the first eight or something. And the Bucks just were not making shots. They would go down, bad shot, turnover. And if you're the one seed and you lose to the eight, like in the modern NBA, you have advantages that the number eight team simply cannot account for. And if you lose that series, especially as quickly as the Bucks did, it's because you didn't do the things that got you there, or you weren't, maybe somebody got hurt. Obviously Giannis getting hurt for two and a half of those games has a huge footprint on what happened in the series. But even then, the difference should be so great that they should be able to overcome that. And nobody played well in the series. There's a lot of blame to go around for the Bucks.
Absolutely. All right. Well, when we come back, we will move sports, talk a little NFL, both Aaron Rodgers and his new look showing up to the Jets, but then also what we can look out for the draft. Our guest is J.R. Radcliffe from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking sports talk. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Get your physical fitness, sports go sports. Athletics are number one. Participants are heroes. Go team, yeah. Sports go sports. Athletics.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Simple fact of plainly obvious to see. We're gonna kick your collective posterior. Of course you realize we're speaking figuratively.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matt-Nair, and he is J.R. Radcliffe's trending sports reporter at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And this is the first he's going to be here every other week starting today. Hopefully there'll be less technical issues than we had at the beginning of the last segment. But and so just doing, you know, there's always sports to talk about, whether it's at the professional level, the college level, the high school level, and you got to do a little bit of all of it. And so that's why I felt like you would be a fun person to have on every other week. And so now I feel like I don't want to keep talking about Aaron Rodgers into the next season. I feel like we're closing the chapter, but I will say, you know, I commend his thank you letter that he wrote to the fans, but I also just want to comment on like how clean cut he looked showing up, and like normal he looked showing up to the Jets this week, unlike his last time showing up to the Packers, like doing his best Nicolas Cage impression. I was like, what? Are you just going to be normal now?
I think we probably have enough experience with Aaron Rodgers to know that he's not going to just be normal now. So
yeah, that's what I think. That's probably true.
Wow. What was all this stuff? What was all this stuff, JR, about his spectacular, beautiful, fancy house, but you can only FaceTime? What, the man doesn't have internet? What is going on with that?
Well, you see, Jane, because we know this as people who own property in Malibu, California, that things are just spotty out west. Ah. When you know, in view of the ocean, you never really know what's going on with the cell signal, with the Wi-Fi. You're just living on the beach, absorbing the vibes. It's tough. It's tough to get through. You know how it is.
Anyone, what was the quote? Anyone who knows me knows that you can't just call me. You have to FaceTime me in order to get a hold of me. And that was why he hadn't gotten back to Gutekunst. And like, really? Really?
Yeah. Anyone who knows him, I'm going to venture to guess that's a very small subset of humanity. But that was definitely one of the fun takeaways. Sure, it's cell service. That's the reason why things broke down between the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. And it was a pretty normal press conference, really, though. There wasn't a lot of, like, crazy takeaways or anything. Obviously, there's a long way to go before we really see the extent of what this marriage is going to look like between Aaron Rodgers and the city of New York and the franchise and everything. And, he's said very complimentary things that you mentioned that post where he says farewell. He's been very complimentary of Jordan Love, which is kind of key because the attention turns to him. There was no real acrimony between Rodgers and Love, at least not outwardly. So it feels like it felt okay to me. It felt like this was the next natural step and good for everybody involved. I think everybody right now is getting what they want out of this. So we'll see who comes out ahead in the end. But right now, I think everybody's pretty happy with where they're at.
Yeah, which is great. So then looking ahead, we got the NFL draft. And so what do you feel like we should be looking out for as people who choose to watch are watching with bated breath? And like, what will be a good move? Who should we be hoping we get in your opinion?
Well, probably I think the storyline that would be the most fun to break down is if they do in fact draft a wide receiver. That was one of the big things with Aaron Rodgers is that they never gave him a first round wide receiver, right? So they are in position to do that this year. There's one name in particular has stood out, Ohio State player named Jackson Smith-Jigba, very good route runner, great separation in college, played for a high level program in Ohio State. That is a guy who's probably going to be available. He could actually go a little bit earlier. But there's a good chance he's there. And if they don't get him, there's a couple tight ends that come up a lot in mock drafts. You'll see Dalton Kincaid from Utah, who's definitely an elite pass catcher and could be kind of the same type of, like, pass-catching threat. And then there's Michael Mayer from Notre Dame, who's more of, like, the blocking threat, I guess. But all around. I mean, both guys would be weapons on offense. And this team has so regularly gone defense in the first round. So it would be definitely a twist that Rodgers is gone in the first draft, first like 3 days after Aaron Rodgers is gone, they have the opportunity to rebuild the offensive arsenal. So that's a possibility. There's a few offensive linemen, a couple in particular, Paris Johnson from Ohio State, who really could be in that spot. You know, maybe Broderick Jones from Georgia. Those are some of the names. But I will say that the Packers frequently confound expectations. Like, they don't often pick, top 10 or anything. So you never really, really know what they're thinking or who's going to be available. If a quarterback drops to that spot, what would they do? Would they actually draft another quarterback? That's theoretically on the table. So there are some moving pieces. It's hard to know exactly what's going to be there for them at 13.
Well, I guess we will find out. So then I'll end on this, because this is where we're going to start at the bottom of the hour, is having a more of an emotional conversation around sports and how much we let sports dictate our mood and our headspace. Because I think there's a lot of people who are very much in their feelings today after that Bucks loss. And so I guess as someone who, like, it is literally your job to report on sports, when it comes to your favorite teams, and I guess your kids are a little too young right now to be too invested as far as like the parent yelling at referees and stuff. But as far as kind of like how much headspace, emotional headspace, not work headspace, does sports take up for you?
I would say a fair amount. You know, I've made no bones about this. I do try to, I don't know, bifurcate is the word, I think, in your brain, or compartmentalize, whether or not there is a professional side and there is a personal side, and there's a decorum to that, but also just a, I mean, I'm emotionally invested in a lot of these teams, and I have been, I should say, since I was a little kid. Not as much as an adult, but definitely as a kid and growing up. I mean, it takes up a lot of my time. I couldn't tell you precisely where professional begins and ends and personal begins and ends, but when the Bucks lose in spectacular fashion, I'm not going to pretend like I woke up in a good mood this morning, excited to farm the content, you know, even though there's a part of me that loves that too, but it's much greater content if they're still playing and playing for two more weeks. So yeah, there's a disappointment factor, that's for sure.
Absolutely. All right, JR. Well, we will see you in 2 weeks when we come back, and we'll probably have to talk about the Brewers because that's what's left to talk about for this summer. But JR Radcliffe is a trending sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Check him out on Twitter, and we'll talk to you soon, friend. We'll be back in a minute.
What's the use of even going through the motions when you know that you're gonna lose anyhow? So why don't you save us all some time and give up?
So someone tell me why so serious? Why are we so serious? Oh, why so serious? When did we get like this? I still remember we were grown.
Do you let sports dictate your emotions? 844-967-2789. So, you know, as we lick our wounds and are still emotionally raw from the Bucks loss last night, I have feelings, but I'm also not letting it ruin my day.
Good.
And I just feel like this brings up, and it's not just our professional sports. It can be when the Badgers lose or Marquette loses, or even the emotions you are invested in when your kids are playing sports, which we see all the time as far as parents yelling at referees and umpires and coaches. And, you know, it's sports is something for some people that can get the best of them. And so honest conversation, no judgment. How much do you let sports dictate your emotions and why? Because I think sometimes they're like, what is sports giving you that it's obviously eliciting that kind of emotion from you? What does that team give you that, like, you put your hopes on that and it is such a big deal when you're not the one out there playing, it's not your paycheck. And I'm not, again, there's no judgment here, but it's just a conversation because I think coming off of a really, really, really disappointing loss in the playoffs for the Bucks, there's a lot of people who have feelings today. So 844-967-2789. But a quick reminder that we are also giving away some tickets to another team that might break your heart later this year.
Gee.
But the Brewers play the Los Angeles Angels tomorrow at 7:10. And we have tickets for you to go. We actually have four tickets. We have two pairs. And so before the end of the show, which there's not that much time left, we will be giving those away. So be on your toes for when we want the going to take two callers. But if you don't win the tickets, you can always listen to the Brewers on the Civic Media's flagship Brew Crew station, WISS, Oshkosh Air Support, as well as on WRCE News from the center in Richland Center as our flagship Brewers stations. So you can always tune in there. But if you'd like to go to the game, stay tuned into this show. But back to the conversation at hand. I guess, Jane, I know where you stand on this as far as I don't think sports suck up a lot of your emotions. You play though. You stay up to date with what's going on.
Absolutely. And I want our teams to do well because it's good for the state. It's good for the local municipality. It's always better winning than losing. But where I get lost is to be this entirely emotionally invested into something in which I have absolutely no control. I can shout at the television. I can tell them what to do. I can tell them how I would do it. None of that makes any difference at all. So I am missing the connection between this being so deeply invested, and yet I can't do anything about it. That seems to me like that's just a cycle of frustration.
But isn't there an argument to be made there that we do the same thing about our politics?
Well, I wouldn't disagree with that, except I think the results of our politics have far greater ramifications than losing a sports ball game.
Yes, but if the argument is because things that are outside of your control, and there's probably an argument of what's in your control with politics and policy is you can vote, you can contact your lawmakers, and there is a little that you can advocate. But I just think it's interesting because I am a big sports fan, come from a big sports family, and I had, because it was a late game, and apparently I am don't have the energy that I used to, because I certainly in 2021 we watched every single game, and we also watched almost every single game not at home.
Oh wow!
Like we were out for that whole run, and last night I definitely fell asleep at halftime, and I woke up. And Mike was out with friends watching the game, and I woke up literally right after the buzzer happened. So all I saw was really disappointed faces, everyone kind of looking around like, I can't believe that just happened, and like final as the score. And so then, of course, I put on Twitter and I'm trying to watch the announcers make sense of what just happened, and I gather what happened in the second half. And I was really disappointed. Like, it's fun to win.
Sure.
It's super fun to win. And I think, like you said, it's really good for Milwaukee. Like, it's good for the businesses. It's good for morale. Like, there's a bunch of stuff that's really good for it. But also, I think, similar to when, you know, the Packers have lost in the playoffs and stuff, by the next day, it's kind of like, all right, well, now we're gonna start to move on. But I can see there's a fair amount of people on Twitter who this is taking up a lot of headspace for them today. And I'm not judging. I'm interested in like what does it give you that like the ability to be this disappointed or angry or sad? Like, what is the upside of it?
What does it give you?
844-967. What does it give you? 844-967-2789. Because I was thinking about it. I'm not going to say which family member, but I have a family member who after years finally figured out why he's so invested in the Packers season every year.
Oh, really?
And he would, you know, and he would get so angry when they lost and when the season was finally over, he'd be like, he called it depressed. And what he realized is because he hates his job. And so during the NFL season, he has something to look forward to every Sunday. And, you know, for years we've been good. And so it's been fun, you know, it's been fun and it's something that like you look forward to, and you look forward to like the ritual and the tradition of watching the sports and who you watch them with. And he finally realized that, and because he started to be introspective and ask himself, like, why am I so upset when the season is over? And it's because he loses something that brings him joy once a week. And he just has to focus on his job that he doesn't.
Well, that actually makes sense to me. So, right, he's hanging on to the one bright spot to make him feel better because he is unhappy with life. So I guess I can appreciate that. But still, that's an awful lot of responsibility to hang on to someone who plays with sports balls. It's 844-967-2789. You can call and or text. That's 844-967-2789. Party from the 608 at the age 48. It's nowhere near as bad as carrying over team's losses to everyday life compared to when I was 18. Also at age 48, I know the chances to win the big one are rare, and seeing the Bucks blow one of those chances, that is where it hurts. I'm able to function better, but the pain is different.
That's interesting. And so speaking of the times that you have a shot at it, right? And I get that. I saw someone on Twitter say, you know, Giannis is going to be 29, which again is just whatever they say how old athletes are, and then you compare it to your actual age, you're like, oh yes, they're such a decrepit human being at the whole whopping age of 33.
Oh my goodness. Life is over.
But, you know, saying that he, you know, so quickly it went from him and like he's only 27 to all of a sudden he's 29. Already 29 and the window is closing of when we're going to be able to win another championship. But speaking of Giannis, I don't know, this is kind of getting circulated a lot,
But Eric Nem from The Athletic asked him a question that Giannis was pretty perturbed over, but I think his answer is, it sums up where I think a lot of us should be when we, whether we play sports or we watch our kids play sports. And it's like another feather in his hat as far as like very reflective, genuine responses when it comes to press conferences, especially when things did not go your way.
Do you view this season as a failure?
Oh my God. Okay, because I'm not that up. You asked me the same question last year, Eric. Okay, do you get a promotion every year on your job? No, right? So every year you work is a failure. Yes or no? No. Every year you work towards something, towards a goal, right? Which is to get a promotion, to be able to take care of your family, to be able, I don't know, provide a house for them or take care of your parents. You work towards a goal. It's not a failure. It's steps to success, you know? And if you've never, I don't want to make it personal. So there's always steps to it. You know, Michael Jordan played 15 years, won 6 championship. The other 9 years was a failure. That's what you're telling me. No, I'm asking you a question. Yes or no? Okay, exactly. So why are you asking me that question? It's a wrong question. There's no failure in sports. You know, there's good days, bad days. Some days you are able to be successful. Some days you're not. Some days it's your turn. Some days it's not your turn. And that's what sports is about. You don't always win. Some other people's going to win. And this year, somebody else is going to win. Simple as that. We're going to come back next year, try to be better, try to build good habits, try to play better, not have a 10-day stretch with playing bad basketball, you know, and hopefully we can win a championship. So 50 years from 1971 to 2021 that we didn't win a championship, it was 50 years of failures? No, it was not. It was steps to it, you know, and we were able to win one. Hopefully we can win another one. You know, sorry that I didn't want to make it personal, because you asked me the same question last year, and last year I was in the right mind space to answer the question back, but I remember it.
He's just so, I mean, what, that answer is so good.
Yes.
And also, I love that he also circles back as like, I'm sorry.
Yes.
And it, like when he couldn't talk trash on The Daily Show with Hasan Minhaj. Because he's just like, he was caught up in the moment, but even that, it was like, he didn't make it personal. It was fine. But it's such a, if he can have that answer right after losing, I think it's such a lesson for a lot of us. And like what he was saying in general, as far as, oh, so you don't get a promotion for this many years, or you don't get into your dream college, or you don't get that job that you went out for, like all these different like things that we peg ourselves against as far as being the binary success or a failure is arbitrary, is stupid, because everything is a step forward, right? Even when you lose, and not lose just in sports, but lose in whatever feels like a big, huge disappointment when you don't get what you want. And yet to just qualify it as a failure is a disservice to the work you put in.
Well, and there are very, very successful people who will tell you that they learned far more from their failures than they did from their successes. That's where the lessons are learned. That's where you change tactics. That's where you make some alterations. That's where, you know, that's, and it's part of the process. It's just part of life. And I love that Giannis clip so much. I'm going to embroider part of it on a pillow, because I think, nice. I just think it's a really... He's so grounded.
I know.
As a ancient 29-year-old, I wasn't that grounded at that age. And with his success and his wealth, he's just a really, gosh, I just really like him.
He's very likable.
He is.
He's a very, very likable man. And, but it is, because it, you know, I always think about that. There's no one more disappointed than the players when they lose.
Right.
Right. Like, as much as we as fans are upset and we want changes, or we want Bud fired or whatever, or even with the Packers. And I'm seeing memes this morning as far as, you know, the Bucks are turning into the Packers, of how we won the Super Bowl and then everything kind of fell apart year after year. And like, you know, it's the internet being the internet. But no one's ever more disappointed than the players.
Right.
And for him to already have that much perspective, I think is a good reminder for a lot of people who are very upset this morning. And be upset. It's fine. I think it's also interesting to think about, like, why do we let sports and a game take such a hold over us? And, you know, for some, like, it changes with maturity or it changes with perspective. But it is, I mean, I don't think, you know, like, when your favorite actress doesn't win the Oscar, I don't think you pout about it the next day, do you? All right. We have to go to a break, but the next, we'll take caller 2 and 3 are going to win the Brewers tickets for tomorrow night at 7:10 against the Los Angeles Angels. So 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. We're taking your calls now.
Cow goes moo, frog goes croak, and the elephant goes toot. Ducks say quack, and fish go blub, and the seal goes ow, ow, ow. But there's one sound that no one knows. What does the fox say?
Wow, throwback, Jane. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Mountaineer. Have you actually ever heard a fox?
What a fox sounds like?
Yeah.
Oh, the actual animal fox. I have not heard what a fox sounds like.
It's super weird. It's like a screeching little noise. Like I heard it once and I was like, that's what a fox, it was after this song had come out. And I was like, really? That's what a fox sounds like? Because I don't know. I guess you think they would sound more like a dog?
Yeah, growly. You would think they would sound growly. Anyway, I wanted to keep with the let's not be so serious theme to close out the show. And what could be sillier than the song by these two Norwegian brothers named Ylvis called What Does the Fox Say? If you've never seen the video and you need a good laugh or just to go, what was that I just watched? Google What Does the Fox Say?
Yeah, it's a good Thursday activity. But congratulations to Frank from Tosa and Bill from Richland Center who have won the tickets for the Brewers to go to tomorrow. And I guess I was a little embarrassed when I was talking to Luke Mathers, host of Dueling Tangents.
Coming up,
and I was like, oh, just like the details for the game, and because he's in charge of helping us get these tickets out. And he had said to me, he goes, oh, the reason why people are going to want to go to this game is because of Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani. And I guess those are two players for the Angels who are two of the best baseball players right now. And I did not know who they were. And so I will claim that. I was like, who? Okay. All right. I will promote that. But congratulations to Frank and Bill. I hope you have so much fun at the game. Be sure to tag Civic Media when you're there. But I wanted to wrap up, and maybe we'll talk about this again tomorrow. Well, I don't know. We'll see. But I do want to mention at least now once, but maybe we'll bring it back and see what people's opinions are on it. But as we were talking about emotions running high when it comes to sports, and I think it's often with our favorite professional sports team, whether it's the Packers or the Bucks, or if you're listening to this in other states, maybe it's a different team. Certainly Badgers, Marquette, those teams.
Even the Panthers have lots of fans.
The Panthers. But I think, you know, sometimes the most bad behavior can come from parents watching their children play sports. And just as a quick reminder, this story that I want to talk about quickly before we wrap up the show. Do we still have that clip from earlier in Wisconsin for the basketball season?
I would like to take this opportunity to remind all fans, and I should have done this a lot earlier, shut up. The WIAA is always looking for officials, and since you do such a good job from the stands,
get on the floor, wear a striped shirt, and do it yourselves.
I love that guy so much.
And so that was from a couple, like a month, 2 months ago. And it was at a basketball tournament. The game was at Brookfield West. I don't know. It was one of the Brookfield high schools. I forgot which two teams were playing, but the video went, you know, people were circulating it because people kind of were hats off to the announcer. But that sentiment, is now going to be baked into a New Jersey Little League, which has said that anyone who fights with the umps if they want to come back and watch another game, have to volunteer an umpire for 3 games.
Oh, that's brilliant. I don't see how they're going to enforce that.
I think they're going to say you can't go to the games.
Well, then I just think a lot of people are not going to go to the games because...
You think you're not going to go watch your kid?
Not if I have to actually put something into it where I get punished in public. I think the people who will fight with umpires and refs like that aren't up for that kind of scrutiny. Couldn't handle that kind of scrutiny. So I think they will let their kid play on their own to avoid embarrassing themselves.
That is a very interesting take. Maybe this is something we'll have to save for tomorrow or for next week, because I'd be interested to hear people's thoughts on if something like this happened in your kid's sports league. Do you think it would scare people into behaving better? Do you think people would actually just do what they're already doing and then just wouldn't show up to their mandatory volunteer sessions as the umpire or ref? But also, I also was like, what if they were an awful umpire, an awful ref? You're going to put the kids through having like their game thrown because someone's just not trained to be good at that. And that's the only fault I see in this plan. Like, I love the sentiment, but as far as enforcement and like execution, like if someone who doesn't know what they're doing, they think they know what they're doing because they're constantly yelling at the person who's making the calls. But then once they have to do it, you throw it away? Like it's just a scrimmage. And so it doesn't affect anyone's record when that person's really bad at calling the game.
I don't know. Or it could just be the grown up in the room is the one who blew this for all of you. And now in order to teach this bad grown-up a lesson, we all have to suffer.
It's like the opposite of a participation trophy.
It's participation punishment, Kristen. That's what it is.
Participation punishment for this person's bad behavior. That's like what you have to do on when you're on a team. You're like, if one person screws up, the entire team has to run.
Right? Y'all got to run 2 miles.
The parents, y'all got to run. All right. Well, this has been a very fun show. We will be back tomorrow, as always, at 11 a.m., but stick around for Dueling Tangents or the Chad Holmes Show, and enjoy the weather. It looks beautiful outside. I know Mike just did a 4-mile hike that he told me about.
Oh, nice.
In Palmyra.
It's a perfect spring day. Yeah.
It's a perfect spring day. So definitely get outside, enjoy the weather, but then come back tomorrow when we will do this all again as goes Wisconsin.
What does the fox say? The secret of the fox, ancient mystery, somewhere deep in the woods. I know you're hiding. What is your sign? Will we ever know?
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.